Anyway, praise the Lord. What a beautiful day. Amen. I mean, you have to admit, Bible verses about us being washed whiter than snow, it kind of comes alive when the snow is on the trees like it is. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us and washes us whiter than snow. Brother Clark and I were talking, boy, that's white. Amen. And it won't be white by March, but it is so white and it's so pure. And yet we can be washed whiter than that. Praise the Lord. That's good. Good stuff. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians. If you need the lesson, we are on lesson number 4. And lesson 4, we started on that last week. We'll probably finish this week. And then we'll move on to lesson 5. But if you need lesson 4, anybody need it? All right, ushers did an excellent job again. Brother Herndon, way to go. Good job. I'm going to double your pay today. Isn't that a blessing? You're going to have to pay more taxes now. You know, by the way, since we doubled your pay, you can double your tithe. yeah, thanks. What a, you know, that's what I'm here for, Glenn, to help you out and be a blessing. All right, our lesson verse is Ephesians 1, verse 13. And we'll go ahead and say that together. It's a great verse. And we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1, 13. And again, Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1, 13. We thank you, Father, for safety coming in today and certainly for last night, yesterday afternoon. So many folks out driving and on these roads, and thank you for watching over our people and the teens and their activity and just all that was going on. We thank you that we could have church today, we could have our buses running today, and really everything be just like it always is. And we ask that you'll meet with us and give us what we need in Sunday school. I pray that visitors will come, Lord, with our promotion, and we'll be able to give away the turkeys and be a blessing to some families. Please, Lord, just work in the service and have your will and your way with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are on Roman numeral 2, the doctrine realizing our blessings, and capital A, our possessions in Christ. Those certainly are blessings to us. And we have number 1 from the Father. We have number 2 from the Son. And we are on lesson number 4, which is number 3 from the Spirit, our possessions from the Spirit. Last week, we talked about small a, our protection, and that is found in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Again, our protection. And then now we move on to the back of our lesson, and that is small b, our perfection. And I love that. I love talking about that, and that is verse 14. We do get a little bit back into verse 13, but mostly verse 14, it says, which is the earnest, talking about the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And again, we go back to several lessons ago, the purpose, talking about to glorify God, the praise of his glory. And let's understand that the blessings we receive are certainly to the praise of God's glory. I mean, to God be the glory. Thanksgiving, we shouldn't have to think real hard about what to praise the Lord for. In fact, day in, day out, we shouldn't have to think real hard about what to praise the Lord for. We shouldn't have to struggle to figure out, what am I thankful for? It should be automatic. It really should for us. God is so good to us. If you want to get upset over the cold, praise the Lord for, is it cold in your house? See what I mean? You know, last night my wife got out that big heavy comforter thing, blanket thing. I don't know what it's a white puffy kind of thing that's heavy. I like that. I there's something about, boy, that heavy thing on there, and then we have a heating pad kind of a thing on the bottom, and so you get that turned to about a 2, and then that big heavy thing on top. It's just nice. It's just nice, and I don't care what it's doing outside. It's just nice and warm, and praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I was reading about, I don't know what I was reading, but the old days when they had the stoves, and they had to put a brick. Did any of you have to do that? Anybody do the brick to keep, and they'd take that brick and they'd put it on the stove, get it red hot, and then they'd somehow wrap it up, put it at the foot of the bed. Anybody do that? How about grandma and grandpas? Did they do that? Mine did. I've heard that story, and they would put that and keep, that's how you kept warm. Can you imagine touching that with your toes? Ooh. Anyway, but just praise the Lord, you know, what we have. I pastored first church we started in Amish country, and we used to, my wife and I actually, one of the homes we lived in outside of Bern, Indiana, was out in the country, and all our neighbors were Amish. And we'd watch them, you know, on those cold, snowy, wind blowing hard, sun. And these were old-fashioned Amish. You say, I thought all Amish. No, there's modern-day Amish. They have those modern Amish. That's nothing. They have covered buggies. These Amish, they weren't allowed to have covered buggies. Their buggies were uncovered. So they would hold an umbrella and try to block the wind. And there they are. You know, and I'd get in my car and start that thing up. Praise God. Amen. How many of you have remote starters for your car? Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Or you have a garage. How many have a garage? Your car is actually in a garage. Isn't that something? Yeah, boy, ours isn't in the garage, but that remote starter, I'm nice and warm and start that thing up. And yeah, come on, folks. There's always something to praise God for. Amen. There's always something. How about in here? You know, every now and then, it's just freezing cold. Yeah, but it's not freezing cold. It's exactly, well, it is 67. Now, you know, 67 is, it's right there close to freezing cold. But, praise the Lord. And these pews are comfortable, right? Yeah, well, they're not the most comfortable. I mean, if we could have recliners for everybody, that would be better. But would you really pay attention? Or would you be asleep? How about vibrating recliners with heat? You'd like that, wouldn't you? Can you see that? Turn in your Bibles. Right? Yeah, you know. There's always something to praise God for, isn't there? Amen. Always something. And so praise the Lord. And so we're talking about, with verse 14, our perfection. And that is such an amazing thought that one day we will be perfect. Perfect. You know, to know us and you and I, we don't know each other as well as we know ourselves. And we know we're so far away from perfection. I always tell my wife, I say, babe, I say, you are the best Christian. You are right there on the edge of perfection. And she always just looks at me because she knows herself. But one of these days, we're going to know. In heaven, we're going to know. Sharon, when you see me in heaven, you're going to know he is perfect now. Now, she knows I'm not here, but in heaven, we're going to look. Brother Denias, it's hard to believe. You and I are going to look at each other in heaven. We're going to know. Now, there is a person who is now perfect. And you can look at me and say, there's a guy. He is now perfect. Isn't that wonderful to think? Perfect. Wow. Well, it's guaranteed. Number one, our perfection is guaranteed. And here's how it's guaranteed. The Bible says, talking about our salvation, in whom also, verse 13, the second part here, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we talked about that last week. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, but what? Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now again, there's a key word in there that we deal with all the time as adults, and that is the word earnest. Earnest, all right? And the earnest is the Holy Spirit of promise. That is the earnest, and so we have to deal with the word earnest. What is that? Who can tell me what earnest is? Y'all have, I'm sure, have dealt with it before. Brother Binder, what is earnest? It is a down payment. How many of you have ever made a down payment? Anybody? All right, most of us have. All right? And that down payment, the Bible says then, it says the Holy Spirit is the down payment. Okay, again, this is a legal term. Okay, down payment, that is a legal term. And the down payment is a guarantee of the final payment of the transaction. In other words, it is a guarantee of the final transaction. In other words, whatever that contract says, whatever is in the writing, that down payment says, I promise, I guarantee this is going to take place. Now, you know, with mankind, and maybe even somebody here, you know, we don't always, you know, our guarantees aren't always too hot, right? Have you ever had somebody say, I promise you I'll, and, you know, it's been 30 years and they never did. But with God, this is his down payment, okay? Now, we'll get into that in a minute, but it is a guarantee of the final transaction. When a person makes a down payment, he guarantees he's going to finish the deal. So you buy a house, a 20-year mortgage, and you pay a down payment. You might do the same thing with a car. You pay the down payment. That down payment is your guarantee that you are going to make every payment. Boom. At the end of the month, you know, at the beginning of the month, whatever it is, whenever your payment's due, I'm going to make my payments, and I'm going to make them for however long I have to make them, however many months I have to make them. I will make all those payments. I will do everything that I said I'm going to do, and until the transaction is finished. Amen. Does everybody follow me there? So we all understand that. Now, here's what our salvation, one of the things, again, we're learning, remember, we're learning doctrine, not because, bless God, you better do this or you're going to be, you know, that is part of doctrine. And we get so afraid, but doctrine is the blessings. These are things that took place at when I was 17 years old. When you were a child, maybe a teenager, young adult, when you bowed your head and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, these are things that happened. Okay, all I knew when I was 17 is I knew I was saved. I didn't understand down payment and earnest and all this stuff. So here's what happened, though. God, doctrine is simply saying, here's some of the things. You need to find out what's in the package. You need to find out all the things that happened to you when you got saved. It's good stuff. There's nothing bad about it, any of it. But here's what it is. When a person accepts Christ as their Savior, when they get saved, God gives them the Holy Spirit as a down payment. Now, he's a whole lot of things. Don't misunderstand me. He is a whole lot of things. But one thing, legally, he is the down payment. Okay? He is the earnest. He is the guarantee. All right? And so God gave me at the age of 17, gave the Holy Spirit to me. He lives inside of me. He is the down payment guaranteeing the finish, which is perfection. It's guaranteed. How do you know? The Holy Spirit's in me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with you always. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee, all right, that God is going to finish the job. God's going to do it. Now, a couple of verses that kind of, again, back that up. Philippians 1, verse 6. You would know that I'm going there. That is a lot of people. That's their life verse. They like that. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began a good work in me. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until I am perfect. He started it. He started a work in me. He is going to finish the work in me. Again, these are all, notice, being confident. This is a word that other times is the idea of being bold. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. What's that mean? That means with confidence. Not because of me, because of him.
That's right.
I do not come into the Holy of Holies on any of my merit at all. It's all on his merit. And I can be confident because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. And let's just, as we think of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let's understand that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you to dwell in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. And we have, you know, we have a bunch of religions out there that are telling people, well, you can get more of the Spirit. You will never get more of the Spirit. He is total in you. The question of being filled with the Spirit of God and those kinds of issues, having the Holy Spirit's power on our life, it has nothing to do with how much of the Holy Spirit you have. It has everything to do with how much of you he has. That's what it's all about. He's there. Just how much have you yielded for him to fill? That's what it's all about. It's I illustrate it so often to children because, you know, again, these are doctrines. These are tough things sometimes. But if I have a glass of milk and I want to have a glass, I want it to be full of a glass of tea, what do I have to do first? I've got to pour out the milk, don't I? And let me tell you something. If I want the Holy Spirit of God to fill me, I first have to get rid of me. I got to get rid of the junk that is in me. And that is what our life as a Christian, it's that constant getting rid of the junk so that he can fill that spot. Oh, it's such a great thing. It really is. So I have all of the Holy Spirit I'm ever going to get. He's the down payment. He's the guarantee. He's the earnest. He is the Holy Spirit of promise, guaranteeing the it's going to happen. Now look at Ecclesiastes 3. Verse 14, again, I'm still in Ephesians, but I want to give just a couple other verses, and there are many verses we could give. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Let me remind you, and we'll get there in Ephesians 2. We'll get there maybe in 2016. But let me remind you of something here. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Boy, it's a key thing right there. Created in Christ Jesus. What's it say? Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Would that include the fact that he created me in Christ Jesus? It's forever. He's doing a work in me that is a forever work. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that new creature is forever. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. What he does, it's forever. when God makes a deal, it's forever. He keeps it. He doesn't break his promise, doesn't break his word. It is forever. And so it's a down payment that is legal. But how about the love factor? Do we have an illustration? Which you've probably heard me give this before, but that's okay. I want to see if you pay attention. Do we have an illustration? We have the legal down payment. Do we have a love illustration to go with this? Anybody? Come on. What? Salvation. Well, salvation is part of this, but this is the word earnest. Do we have a love illustration? Down payment is a legal illustration. What's a love illustration? Love. Come on, somebody. Engagement ring. Ladies, let's see those engagement rings. Amen. Amen. All right. Engagement ring. It is exactly the same thing. It's a earnest. So the guy, you know, he is earnest about this thing. And who knows where all this junk starts? Probably a jeweler, right? Yeah. I'm telling you, seriously, it's got to be the jeweler. It's kind of like all these different holidays. You know, it's your dog's birthday, and now there's cards for your dog. Why would anybody? Never mind. But you know, it. So here it is. You know, this fella, he is. It's one thing for a guy to say, "Oh, I love you. Will you marry me?" It's a whole nother thing for him to say, "Here, will you wear this? Will you marry me? This is my promise." This idea of guys getting the engagement rings back and all that kind of stuff, that's, you know, man wrote that. God didn't. That's the illustration is a beautiful illustration, because when I slipped that ring on my wife's finger, by the way, we got our rings. You talk about a deal. Again, this was 39 years ago. We got our ring. We got all three rings for $300. You say, well, that's cheap. I was cheap. We were broke. There's no question about that. But since then, I made her engagement ring diamond grow, which I wrote a poem and all that. So it was real cute. But anyway, when I slipped that engagement ring on her finger, I was saying to her, "Will you marry me? We are promising each other. I promise you I will go through with the transaction." Amen. Now, I never had second thoughts. People ask me all the time, if you could do it different, what would you do? I say, I'd do it sooner. I'm serious about that. Now, we were, don't tell anybody, we were 18. But I wish I could have met her and married her when I was 12. But anyway. She's just best thing. When the Bible says, whosoever findeth wife findeth a good thing, I'm telling you, I thank God so many times. Anyway, let's not get into all that. It's a promise of marriage. Amen. And do we have an illustration of marriage as far as the Lord is concerned? Any illustration of marriage there? Come on, think. We're not giving you donuts. You have to think. Do we have an illustration of marriage with our relationship with the Lord? We are the what?
Bride.
Yes. We're the bride. And so we have a promise. Christ is the groom. We have a promise of marriage. Isn't that wonderful? And it's going to happen. And it's perfection. And it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. And praise the Lord. And you say, thank God for this Thanksgiving. How about that? That's a good thing. Well, I like that. Amen. You know, we've got two weddings coming up. You say, well, I don't know about that. Yeah, you may not. How many of you know about both weddings that are coming up? How many know about one wedding that's coming up? All right, and you don't know about the other one yet, do you? That's fun. I think I'm the only one. Oh, somebody else should know about that. Nobody else knows about the other wedding? Anyway, so we have, I don't know when it's going to be. I haven't even had a chance to congratulate the folks, but you're really wondering now, aren't you? Don't tell. Yeah. Guess who's going to be the most popular person in between Sunday school and church? Margo Denias. Oh, that's funny. It's good to be popular. But anyway, boy, it is so exciting as you start thinking, you know, when you think about a wedding. Of course, I'm the guy. I've been telling Davis, son, you know, let's just save money. backyard, my house, five people. You know, you have to have, we'll have somebody, one person can sing, have a couple of witnesses, and just do this thing. Oh, does that infuriate you? That infuriates my wife. She doesn't like that suggestion at all. Wives, grandmas, you know, all these people. We fellas are very practical. In fact, the last few weddings I've told them, I said, look, let's just, you know, elope or something. That's the best way to, but anyway, save that money. Amen. But anyway, you know, in Michigan, I think Michigan leads the whole country in providing a meal for the wife. Since when do you have to feed the guests? What is that all about? We had some nuts in a little bowl. We had mints in a little bowl. Do what? That's in heaven, though. Yeah, but that father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This father doesn't. Amen? I mean, I'm saying most fathers don't. You know, it just drives me crazy. All the money that is spent. They say the average now is $20,000 for a wedding. And I can tell you, being the pastor, it doesn't go to the preacher. It goes to everybody else. And anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. I guess because I have an interest in it all. But you're really curious now, aren't you? I can see some of you ladies, your wheels are turning on who this other one is. I like it. But anyway, engagement ring, that is awesome. Engagement ring. And what a blessing. That is a promise of marriage. And so, again, it's the same thing as a down payment. Just like the legal down payment, the love is God saying, I give you the Holy Spirit as a promise of your perfection, of your redemption. And then my second thing under this, and ushers, if you'll go ahead and come, we'll take up the offering. But here's another key word, and as we study, again, thinking about doctrines, let's not leave out words. Words are important. The word earnest, how many of you would say that's an important word as we study? Oh, that's a big word. Okay, well, here we have another key word here, and that is this. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Here's a key word, until. Until is a key word because it indicates the thing before ends when the thing after starts. Until. We experienced this a couple years ago. Our roof will leak until it gets fixed. So until keeps going, and then when it's fixed, it ends, right? It will be dry until it rains. It will be beautiful until it snows. No, I'm just kidding. But I didn't have that one written down. That was my flesh. But anyway, dry ends when rain begins. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. He is the engagement ring until perfection, until redemption. And therefore, the down payment, and I realize a woman does keep her engagement ring, but when the promise is fulfilled, then the perfection is taking place. The wedding will take place, as we know. And as Margot so wonderfully pointed out, the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will feature, I don't know if pork chops will be there, but I'm sure steak will be there. And chocolate, there will be maybe chocolate steak. I don't know, a brown cow, right? How now, brown cow? Anyway, so much for that. I'm getting very, very carnal here thinking of all those things. But the down payment, the engagement ring, that promise is kept at perfection, the redemption. That's what we're going to talk about next week. I'm not going to start on that. But number one, our perfection is guaranteed. Guaranteed, like a down payment, like an engagement ring. Again, we have to get away from man because we lie. Man's a lie. You know, we lie through all those. I mean, how many down payments? Yeah, that was a lie. How many engagements? That was a lie, right? And but God's not gonna lie. God will finish what He starts. God will keep His word. What a blessing that is. Okay. This Thanksgiving season, things just aren't going well. Well, are you saved? Because if you're saved, we've learned a lot already in chapter 1 of Ephesians. If you're saved, you have a guarantee. Yeah, really? Yeah. Yeah. See all that snow out there? You're going to be washed. You are already washed whiter than that snow. But that's how God sees you. But the reality is, when we all get to heaven, we will be whiter than that snow. We will be clean. We'll not only be clean as far as our actions, but our thoughts will be clean. Everything will be clean because of perfection. Oh, can you imagine? No more will there be any tugging on you to do wrong. No more will you have the temptation to look, to talk, to think. No more will you have the evil eye towards somebody else because they parked in your cloud. Right? No more. You're not going to have any of that. Isn't this wonderful? See, do you have anything to be thankful for? We have so much to be thankful for. And I venture to say, though your guts may be growling right now, I'd say by 1 o'clock this afternoon, you'll be happy. Right? Amen. God's so good. He's so good to us. Our perfection, it's not just a hope so. It's not just a, if it all works out. It's guaranteed. Guaranteed. Father, thank you for making that guarantee to us.